Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Let's do it indeed. Let's talk about HeHeStreams.com. It's the place to go, gang. It's March 22nd as we record this. Probably March 23rd as you listen, if not a day or two after. And guess what? Fox Sports San Diego's gone. Bally's San Diego is now a thing you can't watch if you have YouTube TV, if you have Hulu with live sports. You're out of luck. If you're anyone who isn't overpaying for cable, you're pretty much out of luck when it comes to watching your Padres in San Diego County. Even the great Raul Martinez of Fox 5 San Diego was complaining on Twitter on Sunday, John, and saying, oh man, Padres game is on. Sure would be nice if I could watch it. You know what I replied?
Get on HeHeStreams.
HeHeStreams.com/go/hot tub. You know what Raul did? He retweeted it.
Nice. My favorite thing is when TV people complain about a thing on TV they're not able to watch.
Right.
It's like you're from TV. You should have this figured out.
Yeah, don't they have the TV key for all the TV people to turn on all the TVs?
Yeah.
No.
Right? You would imagine.
It's not true.
That's how that works.
Raul can't watch Padres. And I'm betting someone out there in our listening audience right now is in the exact same spot that John was in and that I was in going into this year. Can't watch your Padres. You might be like me, can't watch your Lakers in San Diego, which is a bogus situation, seeing as LA is not San Diego, and we know that for a fact. You might be somebody in Milwaukee who can't watch the Bucks, or somebody in New York who can't watch the Knicks. Wherever you are listening to us on Padres Hot Tub in the U.S., there's some blackout restriction that's pissing you off, and HeHeStreams.com is the option. HeHeStreams.com/go/hot tub. It's $100 per season, but when you go through our link, $10 off. That's $90 a season, and we're giving away free HeHeStreams.com memberships to our patrons on Patreon. More on that later in the podcast as we get ready to dive in the hot tub. We just remind you that we're brought to you by Reddit's favorite, everyone's favorite. It's HeHeStreams.com. Get signed up. It's baseball season. Welcome to the Padres Hot Tub. It's Craig and John. We are back with you. It's a Monday night as we record. John, we haven't seen our tickets in the little thingy yet, right? Because I was just about to get excited about how many days away from Tony Gwynn opening day. But I don't know if are we going to be there or not. I don't know.
I don't think so. I keep checking. This is why the other day I was texting you going like, do you know the password for this thing? And I was changing the password because I wanted to, every day or two, I'm logging in going like, are there any tickets in there yet? Are there any tickets in there yet? Are there any tickets in there yet? I figure at some point we'll like log in and it'll be like, here are your tickets for the game on April 18th. And it'll be like, oh, well, that's the first game they're letting us in on. Okay. But yeah, no, we've not gotten anything yet. So it's very possible that game one, I'm watching, you know, out in the summer studio with the TV out there.
It may be that, like Denelson Lamet, our opening day will be slightly delayed.
Yes.
Hey, this is an annual episode that we have done for quite some time. It's called John Gets Excited About Spring Training Stats. And Craig usually talks him off the ledge. Now, this year is a year unlike previous years, quite probably because of our increased attention being paid to spring training, both because we're all so excited about the 2021 Padres and also because of our Patreon Discord server that's has these watch parties for every game and, you know, really has the conversation going and getting me excited. I've watched way more spring training than I normally do. So hopefully this is still as fun a segment as it has been in past years, because I don't want to just earnestly agree with all of your opinions, having watched this silly funhouse mirror baseball in Peoria and other parts of Arizona over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think usually I can kind of surprise you with these stats and be like, oh, did you know that this guy's doing this? Did you know this guy's doing this? And I feel like this time you're going to know all of the outlandish things, good and bad, that I'm going to tell you just from getting them from Don Mudd or getting them from Jesse. But maybe not. Maybe I can surprise you with some of them.
Well, we're going to get to that in just a second. First, let's hit just the late news that's happened going in, some of these late things that have been happening around the Padres and around the league. Did you hear today Kirby Yates has a forearm strain in Blue Jays camp?
I did hear that.
Out several weeks, could be a long-term problem.
I did hear that.
Bullet dodged.
I didn't think there was any chance the Padres were bringing him back. So, I mean, I guess, yeah, bullet dodge, but I'm pretty sure they were out on him way before even, you know, the free agency period of this offseason.
What would be your biggest concern for Yates? Die in horrible fire? Ejected from car? Sorry, I was trying to do the hacksaw pull again.
I was wondering where you were going. Jesus Christ.
Every time I see that thing, it's both the funniest and most disturbing thing.
I actually wiped it from my brain, because if I remember that it happened, then I actually need to go run down hacksaw in my car.
Right.
So, yeah, it's not good. It's not good for Yates. It's not good. When you have the type of... Did he have Tommy John? Do I have that right?
I believe he's had it in his career.
No, I mean, is that... Like, he missed all of last season.
No, he had elbow chips.
Oh, that's all? That's all he got diagnosed with?
Yeah. No, he had elbow chips.
Yeah, this would seem to indicate... What?
Loose bodies, they said.
This would seem to indicate that it's something more muscular and less elbow chips. Because elbow chips are, like, painful, but they're not, like... It's not like, oh no, I can't pitch anymore after getting these chips out of my elbow. But this would seem to indicate that it's a much bigger problem.
I would tend to agree. The Padres did not bite on re-signing Trevor Rosenthal. Rosenthal signed with the A's. The Padres did not bite on re-signing Kirby Yates. Yates went to my beloved Blue Jays, where I thought I was going to be so excited to see him closing out games for my other, you know, my AL favorite team, and instead now he's hurt, and I'm wondering what the hell they're going to do, and hope that things will be okay. It's, you know, and they bet on Pomerantz, I guess, and Pomerantz has a forearm strain.
You want to hear funny, like, AJ theory?
Sure.
So how many guys are in the Padres bullpen? Let's assume that Pomerantz is healthy. How many guys in the Padres bullpen have actual closing experience?
Well, you'd have Pomerantz, Pagan, Melanson, Kayla. Adams hasn't really closed. Johnson,
yeah.
I think those are the really big ones.
Or if you want to get crazy, you can throw Taylor Williams in there.
But, yeah, no, yeah, he has, yeah.
I love the idea that at some point AJ was like, what if I build a bullpen full of guys that I believe are actually good, effective pitchers in the bullpen. But as the season goes on, if a team loses their closer, I'll just ring them up. Hey, you need a closer? I got a guy with plenty of experience, man. All it's going to take is your top three prospects. I love the idea that he's just waiting for the Blue Jays to be like, we can't figure out Yates is out and we can't figure out and he's just going to call up and be like, so I'm going to email you some Keonekela Pittsburgh Pirate highlights. He had 30 saves in a season. He's really good. The kid's lights out. You're gonna want to give me your top prospect for him.
Possible. I mean, we do kind of have an all closer bullpen. You know, people say, well, the Padres don't have a closer. Well, they've got a lot of closers. So that's
It's actually the rare guy is like the Pierce Johnson or Tim Hill type that has never closed before and probably never will.
Yeah, it's again like a Strat-O-Matic tournament bullpen. You know, four or five closers in the bullpen, and then you make a decision based on the day, presumably, if things work out. Now, the Padres have had enough injuries so far in the bullpen that it does remind you that, again, we really don't have a second line in this franchise right now. We've got what looks like a terrific first line. We've got some really intriguing long-term reinforcements, and we have, like, nothing else. So we are very much that NBA team in the three superstar mode, you know, like the Nets or whatnot. They're like, you know, just don't have very much depth.
That's a somewhat unfair comparison for this reason only. Losing your first line of starters, whether it's the rotation, the bullpen, the position players, and having a second line that can come in and be just as good and fill those holes is a thing that no baseball team can do except for the LA Dodgers. That's it. They're the only one. So it's not like the, you know, the Nets where it's like they're just so insanely top heavy. It would be like if every single team was like the Nets and there was one team that actually had like a good bench.
I guess you're right about that. But yeah, some interesting stuff there. Now, the other thing I thought was really interesting this weekend. So yesterday we were all in the Patreon Discord server watching Blake Snell against the Angels. And that was a fun outing because the Angels had their A lineup in almost entirely, including Shohei Ohtani leading off in a game he was pitching. First time.
Which is fun as hell.
Yeah, first time in his career. In the big leagues that he pitched and hit in the same game.
Yeah.
And Snell against, you know, Ohtani, Trout, Rendon, Pujols, obviously, you know, really tough Upton, tough lineup, all these big league regulars, David Fletcher, really tough out that's sandwiched in between Ohtani and Trout. He wasn't perfect. You know, Snell's command is not great. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? It's not elite. It's really, really good, but it's not Kershaw, you know, in terms of putting every pitch exactly where he wants. If he had that ability, Blake Snell would never give up a run. Like, ever. Or he'd have a 0.12 ERA. Because his arsenal is ridiculous. You know, he really does have four pitches that all four of them are good enough to get a guy like Mike Trout to swing and miss. And those at bats, the strikeout of Trout and then the very long battle that wound up being a walk were two of the most entertaining, I think probably the two most entertaining things I've watched this spring and really augurs well. It's so exciting to have, as you mentioned, a red ass in the rotation and Blake Snell.
Yeah, I'm always a fan of having a red ass or two on your team, especially if one can be a position player like Trent Grisham and the other can be a pitcher like Blake Snell. What I'm much more excited about, even more so than the fact that Blake Snell seems like he's ready to fight anyone who steps in the box against him, is just how crazy dominant he's looked. I mean, like you said, if he had the pinpoint control, he'd be unhittable. But even in that last start, like, he didn't really have his stuff and he still didn't give up a run. Like, I looked when I was looking at the spring training stats, he has pitched the second most of any pitcher for the Padres in spring training. The only pitcher that has pitched more innings is Morejon, who's pitched 10 and two-thirds. Snell has pitched 9 and a third. Zero runs allowed. A whip of 0.75. Now, those are spring training stats. They don't really mean anything, but in general, in spring training, like, the hitters are the ones who normally do well, and the pitchers are just, like, working on stuff and trying not to get hurt and trying not to blow out their arm. So, before he was a Padre, because I don't watch a lot of baseball that's not Padres, before he was a Padre, I did not totally understand the idea that Blake Snell could win a Cy Young Award, because he just doesn't feel overpowering, right? He's not throwing 99 with insane, well, I didn't think, like, insane stuff. And he's not super tall. He doesn't look like he's super athletic. He just kind of looks like a goofus, right? But he's so good. He's unbelievably good. It's taken a couple of spring training starts, and I'm like, yeah, I could see how if out of your 30 starts that year, 25 of them looked like this, you'd be the best pitcher in baseball, and there'd be no doubt about it. So I'm very, very, very excited for the Blake Snell experience this year.
Yeah, me too. And you know that Darvish is either the day before or the day after. So it's so exciting to know that. The thing that we can get the most excited about, I think, going into the 2021 season, and of course, next week will be the season preview podcast, right? We're doing a couple of our spring training traditions. This week, we're doing stats. Next week, we'll do predictions, including best case, worst case, and...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses that should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The thing that I feel like we can hang our hat on for a best case and worst case scenario for this year's Padres, it's Snell and Darvish. As long as they stay healthy, knock wood, as long as they stay healthy, I am very confident that both will be exceptional and so entertaining to watch. And I hear Snell say all the right things. You know, I watched his post-game press conference yesterday, and they put it in during the broadcast, and he's such a critic of himself, you know, but in a really smart way. And he's talking about, I need to get guys out in four pitches or less. And I mean, that's the money quote. The fact that he knows that, like, I remember when I read David Price before, and he says it in three. He goes, like, my goal every time I'm out there is I want to get you either on base or out of here in three pitches. Huh. You know, one way or another, either get on base or get out of here three pitches. And that's how he can pitch into the eighth and ninth inning. You know, is with that, maybe it won't be three.
And that's what Snell wants to do. Snell wants to start pitching into the eighth inning.
Yes, but his average pitches per at bat is like 4.36. So at that rate, he is always going to be a six inning pitcher, because he's always going to be around 100 pitches, you know, in the fifth and sixth inning. And then who would, with a talent that strong, say, no, pitch 140 pitches today, Blake? He's not built like that.
Right.
You know, and that's why. And that's the thing he chafes against. You know, he wants to have that endurance, but in order to have that endurance, he needs to end at bats faster, because Snell will have probably the most 6-plus pitch at bats. You know, he's that guy that they keep fouling it off and keep fouling it off, or a full count, you know, and then he comes up with a smart pitch. He's fun. He's intelligent. He's a battler out there. It's going to be a gas to watch him. But yeah, if he really wants to get deep, he's got to think more David Price and less Jake Peavy.
Yeah, I mean, the real shame here is that the Padres were, without any injuries, would have been set up to have like four aces, right? Like, yeah. It's still really nice to have two, but who knows? I mean, the news on Lamet is what he'll pitch the end of April, maybe?
No, Wednesday. He's going to pitch one inning.
Yeah, I saw it was like, oh, if it goes well on Wednesday, like he'll make his regular season debut towards the end of April, which
right.
seems weird to me. Like, they're going to bring him out of the bullpen for a couple weeks. But yeah, I mean, Snell and Darvish being 1-2 ace really makes you dream about Lamet and Clevinger being a part of the rotation as well.
Yeah, it raises the floor. You know, it's just hard to believe that the team, even with injuries and underperformance, a struggling offense, you still figure this team's going to catch the ball and they've got these types of pitchers at the top of the rotation. It's going to be hard for the Padres to be bad.
It is. And, you know, I want to use this as my transition into diving into spring training stats.
Let's do it. Let's dive in.
As I've gotten older and beaten up by you, and now this year, fun addition, beaten up by the Discord server that also apparently hates spring training stats. I've come to realize that there are some things about spring training stats that are completely meaningless. And there are some things, and they're kind of hard to find and they're small, that are somewhat meaningful. But the saying at NBA Summer League, if you know what NBA Summer League even is usually, it doesn't matter if you look good, it matters if you look bad. Huh. And having Snell 9.1 innings, 0 ERA, whip of 0.75, and Darvish 5 innings pitched, 0 ERA, whip of 0.2, that doesn't matter, but it's not bad. Like, there's a scenario in which some of these guys in the starting rotation like got lit up in spring training and we have to talk ourselves into like, it doesn't matter,
right?
But instead we could sit here and be like, it doesn't matter, but man, it's nice.
It's solid. It's nice. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. Okay, where do you want to start with spring training stats? Do you have any preference?
No, hit me with the hits, you know, give me the good stuff.
All right, let's start with the good stuff.
Give me the good stuff, baby.
So we'll have a conversation about the DH later, but as of right now, the Padres will have 8 starting position players / hitters and 1 starting pitcher in every game, right?
Yeah.
So I want you to count on your fingers as I list off players that are actually having very good offensive spring training, limited or maybe not. Will Myers.
Okay.
Trent Grisham.
Okay.
Fernando Tatis Jr.
Barely played.
Yeah, I mean, he's played more than Grisham. Jake Cronenworth.
Okay.
Tommy Pham, who is on fire.
Fantastic.
And Manny Machado. How many is that?
That's 6 out of 8.
So that's 6 out of 8. So the two starters you're left with are Eric Hosmer, who is having a mediocre spring training that means nothing, and Austin Nola, who was having a bad spring training before he got hurt. If you want to sub out Nola for Luis Campusano,
or Luis Campusano is actually,
let's go with Campusano. Well, no, Campusano and Caratini are both having pretty good springs. No one's really blowing you away. But no one from that group is having what I would call a bad spring training, which is nice. I decided that I wanted to look back at some of the spring training performances of the last few years for a very specific reason. One, I wanted to compare 2019 Fernando Tatis Jr. to 2021 CJ Abrams.
Okay.
Because people have been talking about it constantly. Abrams is amazing. When this happened with Tatis, we called him up. Now, granted, that was a much worse team that was in dire need of talent. But I decided to compare them anyway. And they're very similar with CJ Abrams having better overall stats. So here's Tatis's spring training slash line in 2019. 241, 317, on base OPS of 761. CJ Abrams, 268, so 27 points higher. 318, 1 point higher. OPS of 806, that's about 50 points higher.
Yeah, 40, 50 points higher.
So you could make the argument that Abrams has been just as good as Tatis, and that in and of itself should be consideration for him to for them to find a spot for him on the major league roster because he's earned it, blah, 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 blah. I'm really glad that as soon as I thought this, like, oh no, Abrams is having as good a spring training as Tatis was in 2019, AJ Cassavell put out a story. I think it was AJ Cassavell put out a story about March 22nd, 2019.
Yes, it's a great story about the play that convinced Hosmer and Machado and Kinsler to go into AJ and say, you got to keep the kid on the team.
Yeah, and that's that. That was such a great story because it lets you know that like Tatis making the team had very little to do with his stats and more to do with the fact that they were like, he's ready, let's try it. Like, I'm sure if we went back and we did like our season preview podcast for that season,
right,
there'd be a lot of us talking like, well, do you think Tatis is going to hit enough to stay here? We know he's got the glove. We know he's got the speed.
For sure.
Is he going to hit enough? And then, you know, the season starts and it's like, oh, never mind. He might just be the best hitter on the team. But that was an interesting thing to see Abrams and Tatis so close in terms of spring training. Again, it's probably meaningless. It's a small sample size, but it's a small sample size in the same place in very similar conditions. So I found it interesting. And it's, you know, one in the column of all the people that were saying, hey, CJ Abrams is another Fernando Tatis Jr., which I laughed at them. And, you know, hopefully I eat my words. Brian O'Grady and Jorge Mateo having very, very similar springs. Like shockingly similar batting averages. Mateo's better by quite a bit, but on-base percentage is pretty similar. OPS for O'Grady is 905. OPS for Mateo is 899. It's almost hard to peel these two guys apart from one another and pick one if there's only one seat for them. I find it very interesting that Mateo has tried to steal five bases and he's got caught three times. Because that tells me he's trying to do something that he thinks O'Grady can't do to try and win the spot.
I mean, Mateo's the fastest player on the Padres.
Yeah, which means he shouldn't be getting caught stealing 60% of the time.
He may not be good at what he does, but
yeah. But I find it very interesting that two of them are having such similar springs. Now here's where things are gonna get bad. You ready for the bad?
I'm ready for the bad.
Ha-Sung Kim and Jurickson Profar might be having like the worst spring trainings in Padres history. They're incredibly bad. Incredibly bad. Like I can't stress enough how bad they are.
How bad are they?
Okay. Let's start. Ha-Sung Kim currently, batting average of 103, on-base percentage of 212.
Oh, well, that's good.
OPS of 316. All of those are pretty horrifying numbers, and Jurickson Profar is significantly worse than that.
How can you be significantly worse than a guy who's hitting 100, 200, 300?
Jurickson Profar is hitting... Are you ready? Hold on to your pants. Do you know what Jurickson Profar is hitting? I want you to know.
I have an idea, but tell me.
After today, I updated the numbers. After today, Jurickson Profar is hitting 032. His OBP is 200 points higher than that. It's 231.
Kid can work in a bat.
And his OPS is 263. All right, so I want to list some players for you, and we're just going to use OPS as a constant here, right? So reminder, Ha-Sung Kim's OPS 316, Jurickson Profar 263. Yvonne Castillo has an OPS of 382 this spring. Robert Hassel III, who's like 16 years old.
He's not 16 years old.
and looked completely overmatched in every single at-bat that he had this spring, had an OPS of 383. That's like a full 70 points higher than Kim, and that's 120 points higher than Profar. So I started looking for, and I went back, I did 2021, 2020, 2019, 2018, 2017, and 2016. And I stopped because I was going insane. And I tried to find someone that was expected to make the team or contribute to the major league team that year, right? So like, let's throw out your Robert Hassel the thirds. People that it was like, oh, this guy could be a factor with this team at some point this season. And I wanted to see if any of them had had a spring as bad as Kim or Profar is having now.
Anybody?
Anybody that wasn't just like, you know, spring training fodder.
Right. Like anybody who's reasonable, who's worth looking at.
Anyone that there's an expectation they were going to contribute to the major league team that year. Yes. And, any of those people.
And
I found one. First, I'd like to give you the list of people that I accumulated that were still somehow better than both Ha-Sung Kim and Jurickson Profar, because you'll enjoy this list. So because I went back and found it for the other thing, Tatis, obviously, OPS 761 in 2019. He was worse in 2020, OPS of 465. That is still pretty much double Kim and Profar. Hunter Renfroe was pretty terrible in the spring training of 2019. Batted 184. OPS of 532. It's still double what Kim and Profar were doing. Manny Machado had a particularly bad spring for him last year. Still finished with an OPS over 500. So we're not even close yet. Let's go down the list. Juan Lagares? Last year, Juan Lagares, not good enough to make the team.
No.
Because his offense was so terrible.
Not close.
And still, somehow, with an OPS of 452 and a higher batting average, on-base percentage, and OPS than Kim and Profar by a long shot. This one I just kept in there because it's funny. Dusty Coleman in 2018.
Oh, come on.
Dusty Coleman is not, he probably wasn't going to make the team in any way, shape, or form. But Dusty Coleman got 34 at-bats in the spring of 2018 and was still significantly better than Kim and Profar. Alan Craig in 2018, OPS of 393. We're not even close to Kim and Profar yet. Javi Guerra, who in 2019, they made the decision that offense was not for him.
Right.
And instead,
try
pitching. Finished that spring with an OPS of 390. His batting average was higher than both of them.
How's
his
Kim's fastball? Does he have a slider?
Yeah. I mean, Kim is barely cracking 300. Profar is in the 260s. Javi Guerra was so bad offensively that he had to retire his bat, and his OPS was still 390 under the exact same conditions. The only instance I found in the last five spring trainings for the Padres of someone that was expected to contribute to that team performing at this kind of level, and he was worse than them.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And he still made the team. It was Francisco Mejia, who last year in a shortened spring training got 15 at-bats and did not get a hit. So he finished with a batting average of zero.
Can't go
an on-base percentage of an on-base percentage and an OPS of 200. Here's the thing. He went an entire spring training without getting a hit. His on-base percentage is 63 points less than Jurickson Profar now. Like, Profar could literally just not ever hit the ball, and he would still probably be in that same range that Francisco Mejia is in. That's bad. Like, I'm setting off warning bells. And John Precoda, who is just at so much value to our Discord,
he's about to become our associate producer.
He is about to become our associate producer, and he loves to dig into the StatCast stuff, and especially look at like batted balls and everything. And he's been predicting that Cronenworth is just going to be awesome this year, and Cronenworth having a significantly better spring training this year than last year when he was pretty good. Basically said everything he looks at says that Profar should be terrible, and that and Kim too, kind of. There's a real chance. I mean, there's a real chance that, you know, Kim starting in AAA is not, it's not a big deal, right? Like, you have Mateo. Yeah. You have Mateo, Cronenworth, it's not the end of the world. That being said, Profar being this bad would 100% be a thing that AJ Preller has to do something about. Like, they cannot have their fourth outfielder, especially with Pham, who, you know, may or may not be quote unquote injury prone at this point. Grisham, who's currently injured, like, they cannot have their fourth outfielder just be completely unable to hit. Now, granted, there's a week left in spring training. Apparently, Profar always starts off seasons with a really slow month. All that aside, Profar hasn't just had a bad spring. Remember, NBA Summer League doesn't matter if you're good.
Only if you're
bad. It might matter if you're bad. Right now, if Profar was putting up like Hosmer numbers, like here, Hosmer is batting 207. His on-base percentage is 200. His OPS is 614. Like, those are bad numbers. Right. But I don't care because they're in the realm of like fine, and it's spring training, so they don't matter. But when you are can't bat 100, when you're batting 032, that's scary. It's scary, Craig. It's scary. And almost all of these stats, I'm willing to be like, none of this matters. Mm-hmm. The Kim stuff matters. The Profar stuff matters. The rest of it is whatever.
So what it opens up is it opens up the dark thoughts of the corners of your mind of how the Padres season could possibly go wrong.
Yep.
One of the ways the Padres season goes wrong is if 2+ key players are hurt on the Padres simultaneously and the backups are uniformly terrible. Because right now, Profar and Kim are backups 1 and 2 for almost every position on the field. You know, Caratini is the backup at catcher and might be the opening day starter. And Cronenworth is the backup at first, even though he's the starting second baseman.
Right. But if he goes and he backs up first, either Kim or Profar is expected to play
second
base.
Correct.
So even if they're not playing first base, it gets them into the starting lineup. Almost any injury on the field gets them into the starting lineup.
This team is built on Profar and Kim as its not backbone, but kind of as its back line, you know? And right now, I do think it is legitimate to be concerned about Kim, not Profar. I don't care what Profar's hitting. Profar has a big league resume of multiple years. I'll stick with that. I don't give a shit what he hits in Peoria for 3 weeks in March, whether it's 030 or 300. It doesn't matter. What matters is what happens when the bell rings. Profar can work the count. Profar is delivering good at bats. I have watched Profar take good at bats this spring. Good at bats are what matters, not whether the ball is hit for a hit or an out at the end of it in spring training. It's getting the process right. Profar's process is right. Profar still smiles. He still plays multiple positions, and he still works 5 and 6 pitch at bats on the regular. Profar sucked at the start of last year. Do you remember us out in the summer studio and me saying, like, well, Profar looks like the next guy to be cut? Because he did. He looked like the next guy to be cut 25 games into the 60-game season. And by the end, he was an invaluable starter. So cut the guy some slack.
Everything says that Profar is just a slow starter and it's nothing to worry about. I think there's slow starts and then I think there's disasters. But I'm not ready to be like, oh my God, they need to go trade for someone to fill in for Profar, that, you know, one of these guys that Marcano and his 1194 OPS needs to get the roster spot over Profar. Like, I'm not there. But there is a part of me that's like, we're paying $21 million to this guy and he can't even hit in spring training. Like, that's what? Like, he can't even be respectable in spring training?
You tweeted me from your burner account earlier this afternoon because I put up a clip of Pham hitting a home run. And then the tweet was, trade him to open a spot for Mateo.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, not me.
That was like hot take there. But that's the basic same train of thought, is I'm assigning value to this spring training. Therefore, I think Jorge Mateo could be a big league regular because I've seen him hit to an 800 OPS in spring training. And therefore, he might be a big league regular. He's not. If he was, he would be. He's of an age that he would be. The reason you brought up Mateo and O'Grady, the reason Mateo will beat O'Grady if it comes down to that is because O'Grady has options and Mateo doesn't. So it has nothing to do with the talent. I would keep O'Grady because I like having a left-handed stick. And I've seen some pop out of that stick. But Mateo can run. Mateo can play positions. So if they keep Mateo, God bless him. Vaya con Dios.
Mateo can also play second base, which if Kim decides to start the season in the minors, that might be more useful. All right. On the pitching side, we covered Snell. We covered Darvish. Almost all of the starting pitching options have had, you know, either good springs or have had a good start. I've been pretty impressed by Ryan Weathers, despite, you know, some pretty mediocre spring training stats. Let's skip the Paddock conversation for now and have that next week because I just don't feel like getting into it. But after Snell and Darvish, like, Gore has put up good numbers. Motohon has put up very solid numbers. I mean, again, he's pitched more innings than anyone else. 3.3 ERA, 1.6 whip. That's not bad. Musgrove, I think, got a little roughed up today, so his, like, Sterling numbers went down to, like, just okay. Yeah. But all of that is in the realm of fine. I did the same thing with the pitchers that I did on the hitter side, and I was like, let me go find some really bad spring training performances on the pitching side from guys that were expected to contribute to that team in some way, shape, or form. And I mostly stuck to the last few years, and I found Joey Lucchese was particularly horrendous last year in spring training. And I think, did he get traded right after spring training? Is that what happened?
No, he was on our developmental squad.
Last year?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It was Lauer that got traded to Milwaukee. Is Lucchese still in the organization somewhere?
No. I feel like he's on the Mets. Yep, Mets.
How'd that happen? Free agent?
No. We traded him.
For
Joe Musgrove.
Then how did he end up on the Mets?
It's a three-team trade that sent Joe Musgrove to the Padres, David Bednar, Omar Cruz, Drake Fellows, and Hudson Head, and Andy Rodriguez to the Pittsburgh Pirates, and Joey Lucchese to the New York Mets.
Weird. Anyway, Joey Lucchese was bad, and I don't think he pitched at all last year. The year before, Robbie Erlin and Logan Allen and Luis Perdomo were all really, really bad. And I think that was kind of the end of Robbie Erlin and Logan Allen getting a shot in San Diego, and probably the end of Luis Perdomo being thought of as a starter. Again, doesn't matter if you're good. Doesn't even really matter if you're bad. But if you were like ungodly levels of bad in spring training, the team starts to make other plans. And you could see from just, you know, God, Lucchesi last year had an ERA in spring of 9.3. The year before, Erlin had an ERA of 10.6. Logan Allen had an ERA of 12.5. And Perdomo had an ERA of 12.9. And all of those are like, they it's more than one outing. It's like, yeah, four or five. So I think there is a point in which it starts to matter. And
well, yeah, if you're in luckily, a battle for a spot and then you shit the bed like those numbers you described, yeah, that has an impact. If you're a regular, like, you know, Profar, and you struggle, then, oh, well, keep working. You know, Pham was terrible and then he got good, right? The Padres right. are hoping for the same thing.
Right. I mean, the good news here is most of the pitchers have pitched well in spring, or well enough. If I'm throwing a flag up for anyone, Altuve has been pretty bad, but there's already talk that he might not make the roster from, I think, Dennis Lynn, maybe even AJ Casville. A guy that I've always been a really, really big fan of, Michel Baez, has been something of a train wreck. I think he pitched another inning today and maybe gave up another run, but someone told me that he like redid his entire motion mechanics to try and get more consistent with it. So I don't think there's any chance he makes a major league team. He's got to go work something out. And then Pierce Johnson's been lit up, and who cares? Cause we know exactly who Pierce Johnson is. So there's nothing here. And this speaks to the fact that, you know, in years past, the Padres didn't have this much talent on the team. And so like there were more positional battles going on in spring training, and now they're just not. It's just guys kind of working themselves into shape and getting their timing right and everything. So less to freak out about, for sure. This was slightly less fun than it normally is, but I remain very concerned by Kim and Profar, despite whatever you said.
Fair enough. Here's how my bottom line lays out when it comes to the spring, John. The spring stats generally don't matter. It will decide certain battles, right? If Paddock was so bad that there was a viable option, the Padres would consider the viable option. But having none, given that Lamet will in no way be available, we know for a fact that it's going to go Darvish Snell or Snell Darvish, Musgrove, Paddock, and Morahone, right? You know, Morahone and Paddock and Morahone, depending on how it evens out. But that's where the five will be for the Padres. And probably Weathers will get the next look as they get the opportunity to work a couple of weeks and, you know, keep the service time manipulated for a Boris client. So I look at that side as being settled. We know the bullpen is settled. And in terms of guys who are struggling, the only guy who worries me is Kim, because I think Kim is going to make the team and eventually have some need. And if he's a complete cipher, the Padres are going to have to find an option, like go find out where Alexi Amarista is hanging out or something. But short of that, even if the guys that are struggling struggle in the regular season, the thing that you hope for is that you've got a pitching staff that's good enough, and you've got Tatis, Machado, Pham, and Hosmer, hopefully, that offer a layer of consistency. And upon that consistency, guys like Cronenworth and Grisham and Nola and Myers flourish.
I agree with all that. The last thing, and then we can move on to not spring training stats, is I think it was AC who reported the team is leaning towards Emilio Pagan being their kind of closer to start the season. Outside of like, it's, I guess, possible that he was their third favorite and that, you know, Austin Adams and Drew Pomerantz got hurt and they're like, well, now I guess it's begun. But in my mind, Pagan is one of the last options in the bullpen for that role. I would have gone to Keone Kella or Mark Melancon before going to him. And his spring training numbers have not been very good. Again, spring training numbers are particularly useless when it comes to pitchers. But it's been nice to see all of the pitchers pitch very well, and Pagan's kind of not part of that. Six innings, ERA of six, whip of 1.33, which is more than what you want for definitely a closer. So I'm not particularly looking forward to the team having like a whole bunch of closing options and just deciding like, oh, it's just going to be this one guy every night. I hope that's not how they do it. And if they do it that way, I'm always probably going to disagree with the notion that it should be Pagan until he proves me otherwise.
Fair enough. Spring training stats 2021. I still feel generally the same as I normally do. Let's hit a couple of quick things before we get out of here, John. We have had some Padres who have sat out a game or two with some aches and pains. And we've been told that maybe it's a little bit of the flu bug. And you know what? That's still a realistic thing that could actually happen in a crowded clubhouse where people gather. But my friend John has been working on an alternate explanation that I feel is gathering steam. Open up, shall we, the tinfoil conspiracy portion of Padre's Hot Tub. Let's welcome in Kilvio Anon with this update.
Now I don't want to. I don't think it's a conspiracy theory. Like, how many times have you and I had conversations where I'm like, professional athletes should absolutely be getting vaccinated? Like, they're super spreaders. They give people who are stuck at home something to do. Teams can go out and buy vaccines for their players so that they don't have to set up appointments, go through the county and steal someone else's appointment. And my theory is that the Padres and probably many other teams in Major League Baseball are attempting to vaccinate their players. And this came up in a conversation because someone in our Discord pointed out that basically through spring training, there's been one confirmed case of COVID.
Yes.
Amongst players. And it's like, that's just not possible. Like, they're sharing clubhouses, they're sharing workout equipment, they're sharing the field with one another. Like, there's just no way. Not to mention, they're all not at home, so they're all living in hotels and eating out at restaurants and probably going to bars because it's Arizona or Florida. So my theory as to why Fernando Tatis Jr. missed a few days with aches and pains and flu-like symptoms was he got his second shot. And, you know, like a lot of people get their second shot, he got sick for a few days. And, you know, Kim missed a few days, probably got his second shot. It's been about 3 weeks since they got to camp, right? It makes sense. They show up day one. Here, we're going to put this in your arm. 3 weeks from now, we're going to put another one in your arm. You might get sick for a couple days, but then boom, we make sure that our players do not end up in the hospital. And because it would be a HIPAA violation, journalists can't even ask about it.
Right.
They can't even go to the team and be like, hey. And a very smart person in our Discord pointed out that after Tatis signed his mega contract, him and AJ Preller had a whole press conference where neither one of them were wearing a mask. They were sitting indoors next to each other. And those two guys have been pretty damn cautious, like both of them. Like,
well, I do see AJ behind home plate every day with his chin guard. That should be his mask.
But he's like sitting away from
that's
people.
True. It's got the floppy hat that's got some natural COVID deflectiness on it.
Of course. So, yeah, I just am of the theory that we're not really going to see any COVID cases in baseball this year. And then at some point, either a player or a coach or someone's going to let slip or we'll just never hear it. Like, it'll just never be brought up. But I'm almost positive that we don't have to go into this baseball season expecting what the NBA fans have been living through this year, which is every single team this NBA season has lost player or players to COVID or what they call health and safety protocols, which is you were in close contact with someone who had COVID. And it's just the whole season is going to be determined and dictated by, you know, which team is the best at not getting COVID, which is really silly. And I don't think we're about to go through that with baseball. I think it's going to feel like a very normal season because I think all the players and coaches and everyone are getting vaccinated. And, you know, I heard a story today that some like you can get your shot at, you know, like me and you are going to vaccination sites. I think like CVS and Walgreens now and Rite Aid or they're doing shots too. But there's still other avenues to get shots. You can buy shots. And so I've heard stories about, you know, local fire departments buying shots and then going around to just, you know, their local residents going, here, let's put this in your arm. Let's go. I've heard instances of groups, you know, the leadership of a group say, hey, we're going to buy 100 shots and everyone here just stick around. You're all getting shots. So it would not be out of line for baseball or, you know, the Padres on their own to just be like, we're not dealing with this anymore. Like, get in line. Everyone get your shot and get out of here.
Okay. I am perfectly happy to accept this as something that possibly could have happened.
Thank you. Because you called me a tin hat conspiracy.
Well, I just wanted to make sure I invoked Kilvio Anon again because I love, love Kilvio Anon. But here's the thing. If this actually happened, I count it as a missed PR opportunity. Because if MLB is actually buying shots and not taking them off the Biden till, right? I think it is a positive PR statement and affirmative to see star athletes getting the jab. I think there could be no better sales tactic in terms of convincing people to get a free shot than have Bebo with a needle in his arm and have that picture. And while I understand that they would feel like they were in danger of a PR negative backlash for line jumping, I think if you handled it right and showed that you were paying for it on your own, it was an opportunity, which is what we talked about the last time we said, get all the baseball players vaccinated. It's an opportunity to get more people to agree to get the jab overall.
Strong disagree. Not that I'm a marketing expert, but strong disagree. I think people don't really understand context, so it wouldn't matter to them whether or not the team bought it, you know, separately. They would just be like, hey, the Petco Park vaccination site had to shut down because they ran out of vaccines and my, you know, 90-year-old grandmother had an appointment and now she can't get her vaccine, but frickin' Tommy Pham's out here at strip clubs and he can get the vaccine? What the hell? Like, that's as deep as people would think about it, and then they would just be mad. And it would be like that all over the country. Like, different random groups of people would just be like, hey, this team, I can't even get a freaking vaccine myself, and they get a vaccine because their bosses like them. Like, it would just... I think right now the vaccine's, like, actually quite available, but they have to do it this way, slowly, in order, and be like, no, you have to hit the right criteria, because otherwise it would just be people all over the place. Well, how come him and not me? How come he got one and I didn't get one? So I think they're handling it the right way, if that is indeed what they're doing.
All right, last couple things. AC had a story today which had Tingler being very concerned trolly about a pitcher getting hurt batting and threw in that he thought that because of quote-unquote safety concerns, the NL might still institute the universal DH before opening day, to which I say, Major League Baseball, get your shit together. Are you serious? Are we really going to make a fundamental and massive change in the sport a week before baseball starts for real? We both on this podcast want the universal DH now and forever, but like, make up your fucking mind.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, if they announce it 5 minutes before the start of the opening day game, I'm still not going to be mad about it. I'm just going to be like, yeah, DH, I never have to watch a pitcher hit again.
Oh, and who's our DH? It's Profar, your favorite. Whoops.
I mean,
or it could be Kim
again. Look, I don't root for things like this based on whether or not they benefit the 2021 Padres. I have some longer vision than that. My initial thing would be like, yay for me, I don't have to watch Padres, or I don't have to watch pitchers hit anymore. And then I'd be like, you know what? Once Profar gets it together, Preller trades for one more bat, like this, hey, it gives Onya a chance to come up and hit some smokers right at someone. Yeah, I would not be upset about it, no matter when or how it gets delivered. I just hope it gets delivered, because, I mean, the Padres have examples of this. Tyson Ross missed like half a season injuring himself swinging a bat. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
And then he came back and he was like, he's like, well, I still have to hit, so I guess I'll try swinging less hard.
I mean, just the very fact that Tingler was more upset that Craig Stammen running up the line might hurt himself, Craig Stammen, for God's sake, than that he got a hit. It tells you everything you need to know. Everyone in baseball has determined that the act of pitchers hitting is an atrocity. That it's more likely to lead to injury than any other meaningful result. And yet baseball is trying to perpetrate this nonsense on us. Poor Blake Snell. Every time I see him up, it feels like his soul is dying. As you can see, he's got the take no matter what sign up there, and guys are piping fastballs, and he's like, damn it, I've tracked this thing. I want to hit it for a triple.
Pitchers hitting has been an actual joke. Like, not like a, oh, what's happening up there is a joke. Like, the Maddox, Glavin, Chicks Dig the Long Ball with Heather Locklear commercial, do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Been 22 years since that commercial, which, if you didn't feel old already, I'm sorry. 22 years ago, they were making baseball, Nike, I think, was making commercials laughing at the idea of pitchers hitting, because it's just not baseball. It's having athletes show up in front of millions of people to do the thing that they're absolutely the worst at. Like, it's a joke, and it was a literal joke. And the universal DH should have been instituted 21 years ago, after they went like, wow, everyone's laughing at our pitchers hitting. Maybe we shouldn't have our pitchers hit.
No kidding. I mean, now, though, it's just gotten to the point that it's like, once they took it away, all the pitchers said, oh, yeah, you're right. That's not what we're supposed to do.
Right.
And now there's like a couple of guys. There's that guy in for the Reds, what, Lorenzen, who can hit. You know, there's a couple of guys who can hit. Tanner Roa can probably still hit. And everyone else.
Great. Should. They can come off the bench and pitch hit if they need to.
Right. And Shohei Ohtani can hit.
I almost said pinch hit in a pinch, and then I realized that's probably where that phrase came from.
Essentially, that's the thing. That's that thing.
But Ohtani can still, you know, play DH on his days when he's not pitching, and it's fine. Yeah, there's literally no reason to not have the DH except for the greed and stupidity of the owners and the commissioner of baseball, and it's really sad. It's really sad. So, yeah, if they're like about to throw out the first pitch and the umpire comes out and he goes, wait, just got word. bring out a, who's your DH? Okay, cool. He's batting ninth today. Like, I would still just celebrate and be like, yes, we have a brighter future ahead of us now as baseball fans.
Well, we've hit the hour mark. I think we're at a good spot. It's Padres Hot Tub. We will be back next week and we will have our official season preview podcast. Until then, we do invite you. Thank you for making it to the end of the podcast. John and I do three separate podcasts, Above and Beyond Padres Hot Tub, each and every week. We do a banter podcast, we do a Wednesday interview podcast, and we do a Friday mailbag that we sometimes tape live on places like Twitter Spaces. But the only place you can hear the replay and the actual full thing is on our Patreon. So go to patreon.com/PadresHotTub, patreon.com/PadresHotTub. And for just $5 a month, plus our Discord server, where we're giving away HeHe Stream subscriptions, and you have these 24/7 amazing, the community and the conversation, all of that comes with your Patreon subscription to Padres Hot Tub. So if you like what you've heard, go ahead, make that click, take that jump, take the $10 you save from us subscribing to HeHe Streams and apply it to the Padres Hot Tub Patreon. and everybody is happy.